It's a cool song. It's a challenge, you know, going to deeper waters. And his strength sustains us, like in Luke 5:4, step out into the deep. And that's where we know that God still is there holding us up in the deep of those insecure places. As we were singing that song, I was praising him for the reality that he's there for us when we're facing those deep trials or steps of faith or whatever. But I had to chuckle too, because when Kathy and I were first married in Florida, the shelf of the beach goes out quite a ways, especially at low tide. You can just walk and walk out. And so I'm carrying my relatively new bride, you know, a couple years in, and I'm carrying her, and we're walking, and water's raising up, getting higher and higher and higher. Get up to about here, and the shelf was no longer there. Like this, you know, push her up, you know, and save yourself, honey, you know. And then I thought, where am I going to go? You know, because there was nothing underneath me. And a big wave came over us on top of that. And so in my mind, I thought, Lord, you know, help me. There's nothing here. It kind of took me by surprise. And as we follow the Lord, sometimes things will take us by surprise. Sometimes God will blatantly put something in front of us and say, this is how I'm leading you, and this is the challenge I'm giving you, and it's beyond your capability, and it requires you totally depending upon me and nothing of your own security, like the shelf of the beach. And other times it's a little bit less confronting, if you will, and that kind of ties in with the message today as we continue the message series on the kingdom life, because part three message today is the meek, or the meek's plural, inheritance. The meek's inheritance. Now, being meek is difficult. Being meek is opposite of our culture. Being meek is swallowing your tongue, so to speak. Being meek is allowing God to defend you and not you to defend you, that type of a thing. And that's not easy. That's a challenge for all of us, because we feel as though we're missing the right to be able to stand up and defend ourselves. Sometimes God wants us to defend ourselves in Him. Other times He wants us to step back and just be meek about it and be kind of quiet about it. And so that's what we're looking at, the Beatitudes. And I told you in the beginning, you know, the Beatitudes have always been like, that's nice, I get the basic, here's the promise, you do it this way, here's the promise, and so forth all the way through. But as I confessed to you, it was always kind of boring to me. I'm like, okay, I get it, I know it's a blessing, I know it's your word, and I kind of sense I should be more excited about it, but I'm not, and I don't get it. And so as each one of these Beatitudes we're looking at, I've asked God for the for me personally, for the punch. here's the neat thing in the Beatitude. And I found the neat thing in the Beatitude. It's we see the promise, and hopefully you're walk away understanding what that neat thing, what that punch is in the Beatitude. But first, I want us to watch a video. It's a little bit of a, well, you just have to watch. Anyways, the chairs are gone.
Hope you know what you're doing.
Giving meat and being a dog.
How's this? Yeah, I suppose it does. Hey, you are going to be late for KQ, so let's hop to it. Catch you later, okay? Thanks.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey.
Oh, what you doing?
Oh, hey, my niece Mia is teaching me how to be meek. Never too old to learn.
Really?
Yeah. I'm reading the Bible, and I'm really getting into these Beatitudes. You know, those eventually make the light on.
Yeah, first they're not Beatitudes, they're Beatitudes. The Beatles aren't quite that old.
I must be thinking of the Rolling Stones then.
Possibly. And then why are you practicing being meek?
Oh, well, I got all excited about how they inherit the earth. I mean, who could use a little extra these days?
Well, I guess so. I don't think it's that kind of inheritance.
Oh, no, I know I got to share the wealth with all the other meek out there. I get that.
Okay.
But I also figure the meek are kind of easy to push around, you know? So what works for me?
Yeah, I see. So how many of these other seven Beatitudes have you had a chance to read?
Yeah, all of them, but meekness was the most doable, plus biggest payout.
Just so you know, you're not the first person to be confused by the Beatitudes. You may be the most confused by the Beatitudes.
Thanks, Gary. That's nice to be first in something.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me give you something else to think about. When you're considering the Beatitudes, don't think of them as eight different types of people. Think of them as eight characteristics in the same person.
Whoever that guy is, he's going to have his work cut out for him.
Yes, you do.
Me.
You.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah. Well, it's just all part of being part of God's community, which is a Latin term.
I mean, oh, yeah. Come with unity to us. Yeah, I know Latin. I picked it up in Latin America.
Oh, okay. But you're going to be dropping this whole meek, phony thing, right?
Yeah, I can't afford the inheritance taxes anyway.
See what I mean about I've kind of walked away from Beatitudes and I've gone, okay, you know. And my whole Christian walk was kind of like that when it came to the Beatitudes. It was like, there's something there, but
hey, what's up, my friend?
I'm not totally getting it. But so, again, the line in there, it's not unusual to be confused about the Beatitudes. But hopefully today you'll walk away with a better understanding, but also that punch that I got from this study, from this message. So we've looked at, we're going to go ahead and look at various verses in the Bible, right? And we're going to look at first at John 17:4, which says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Now you might be asking yourself the question, what has that got to do with meekness? Well, I think the thing that we need to look at that's a clear denominator in there is that we seek to glorify God. It's not about our pride. It's not about who we are. It's about seeking in everything to glorify God. And so Jesus had his work on earth to do. He accomplished it. And that's our objective, to bring glory to God. And he said, well, that's nice, Pastor. I've heard that before, and it doesn't have any real impact. But as we grow closer to the Lord, we'll find out that bringing glory to God has tremendous blessing, because there's a transition that in our walk with God, we're acknowledging Him, depending upon Him. And when we see Him actually being revered and honored and glorified and lifted up, and knowing that God's allowed us to be a part of that, there's a rich blessing in that. Jesus glorified His Father on earth, and that's our goal. And again, that's part of being meek. I mean, and everything we do as Christians in our lifestyle and our conduct and in ministry or our jobs or wherever we're at, we should be asking ourselves, is our behavior bringing honor to God? Is it glorifying God? In 1 Peter 4:7-11, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. I mean, representing His word. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And all things, again, we are to glorify God. That's a mindset. That's a training. That's a self-discipline. That's something that's not, it's easily heard. It's easy to receive the challenge as far as, okay, I get what you're asking. But it's not easy to be in the mindset that in our daily walk in life with Jesus, that what we do will glorify God. It's easy for that objective to get out of focus. But it was the objective that was always on the focus of the Lord. So I want us to look at something here. I lost my spot there for a second. There's a parallel here between Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, which is the meek shall inherit the earth, and Psalm 37, 9 through 11. So we're going to look up here in a minute. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking, that's a weird thing. I can't take the earth and put it in my pocket. I'm not going to be king of the earth, ruler of the earth, right? And so how do we inherit the earth is something to consider. Hopefully in the message we'll answer that. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. There is a practical application there about what it means to be meek. But the meek shall inherit the earth again. And so Matthew 5:5 and Psalm 37, 9 and 11 all talk about the same thing. Jesus was referring to this Old Testament passage in Psalms and preaching it on the Sermon on the Mount. And he's using that to encourage people as a hook, if you will, to say, I want you to pay attention. For some reason, they got it better than what I think we do. They were understanding to some degree, I think in a greater depth, that what it meant to inherit the earth. And so we'll look at that. In Psalm 37, 1 through 8, it says, do not fret because of evildoers. Have you ever done that before? Where, man, those people are so, look at the news. It's really disheartening and frustrating all at the same time. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. God's going to take care of that. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Take pleasure in doing what God would have you do. That's what the word delight means. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Now look at verse 7 and 8 more specifically, more focused. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. We're to rest in God. Be dependent upon him. Trust him. Know that he's just. Know that he's holy. Know that he is sovereign. Know that he's in control. Rest in the Lord. And here's the thing. The one word in this entire message that is the punch for me in the message, in this beatitude, is wait. There's the security of knowing that God will take care of things his way. The security of knowing that God will honor you and I as we honor him in his time and in his way. And you might be saying, well, am I seeking for myself for honor? No. That in God honoring you and I, it glorifies him because it recognizes the work that he did in and through us as we yielded to him. As we kept quiet when we wanted to stand up and defend ourselves, when God's saying, hold your tongue. Keep it back. Be gentle. Don't be arrogant. This type of thing. Okay, so rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. That's the key. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. You think as people in the world, you think yourself, I do at least, I don't know about you, but I think about times where I look at someone and I go, man, they've got everything. And they don't know God. And they seem so happy and so fulfilled. They got their huge, just go bigger than Winnebago. Let's go the bus, the custom, what do you call those huge buses, right? They've got their houses and their cars and all their possessions and money and fame and good health and all this type of stuff. Maybe no fame, but they've got all this stuff. And I have, in my walk with Christ, there have been times where I confess I've been a little jealous at times, where I've looked at that maybe for a moment. I've looked and said, God, you know, how come they get all that and you called us to this? They don't know you or honor you, and I'm seeking you to honor you, and I know you. What's the deal with that? And what comes to mind is this. One, I deserve nothing. Two, wait. Your time is coming. In the meantime, we're called to be faithful unto the Lord. So rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. If I know by waiting on the promises of God that God's going to take care of all of it, all the evil and all the good, he's going to take care of it his way, then it can help me to cease from anger. There are times I watch the news and I'm frustrated. But if I wait and say, God, you're in control, you're sovereign, you're God, you're our Savior, you're going to make everything right, I got to wait. There's a certain resolve that we can have in our heart when we do that. Cease from anger and forsake the wrath. Don't get all wound up about it. Just relax. Let God take care of it. Do not fret. It only causes harm. The more we get tight and tense and frustrated about it all, it produces harm. That's what he's saying here. People, or meek people, trust the Lord. It's one of the characteristics. Meek people trust the Lord. That's the waiting. I'm trusting you and your word and your promise. I'm waiting on you. And in the meantime, I'm going to be and I'm going to behave the best that I can through you as you would have me to be. Meek people believe God will work for them. God will do his defending of us. Sometimes it's better to let him to do the defending. God will work for them. God will vindicate them when others oppose them. Okay? Biblical meekness is rooted in the deep confidence that God is for you and not against you. In Proverbs, it talks about that when we're right with God, we can go out in the streets like fierce lions. Not the picture there is one of strength and power and confidence. But when we're wrong with God, we hide and we scatter. So God is telling us, be strong in him. Because we have deep confidence in him. He's for us and he's not against us. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? Excuse me. If God is for us, who can be against us? I love that. Psalm 37:5 says, excuse me, meek people commit their way to God. Lord, you know where I'm at. You know the circumstance I'm facing. You know the situation completely. I know you know me. I know you love me. I know everything's clear to you. I commit it all to you, Lord. The Hebrew word here for commit is galal. And it literally means to roll. Where do we get the idiom or the phrase, just roll with it? It may have come from that. Just roll with it. I think if we learn to just roll with it a little bit and let God deal with it a little bit, that we'll see God work victory in it for his glory. There are times to stand and times to roll. And we need to be discerning from God what he wants us to do. Meek people have discovered that God is trustworthy. I'm sure that you've found that God is trustworthy, haven't you? We all have as Christians. We can trust him. The meek roll their way, to give you some examples. They roll their way or their business, their problems, relationships, health, fears, their frustrations to God. They roll it all over to God. They roll as unto the Lord. Instead of getting all upset and frustrated about it, trust him. Roll with it and be the people that God wants you to be. And he'll give you discernment on what you should or should not do. Meek people do not fret over the wicked. Although we do and can have righteous indignation. That doesn't make us self-righteous. It just says that in Christ, we can get upset about evil, about injustice, right? But we're not going to fret over it. Why? Because in our meekness, we can trust God. We can trust God. You're aware of it. You're going to take care of it, even if I don't understand it or if I don't know when. Because the meek trust God, they wait on him. And there's that word, wait. So I'm reading my notes, wait. That was the thing, the common denominator through this beatitude, wait. Wait on God. Be who he wants you to be and wait on him. The setbacks, the obstacles, the opponents in life do not produce a kind of bitterness or anger or fretfulness or worry that is common amongst men. We have a choice. Excuse me. The meek, we know, as they yield to God as Lord and are submissive to him and relax in him, will find that God will take care of all of these things. And James 1:19-21, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. That's a picture of a meek person who trusts in the Lord, relies on him, who listens more than speaks. There are some of you in this room that I admire so much because you are so slow to speak. Because when you speak, you thought about what to say. When we were, a phrase, let's just put it this way, a phrase that I will not forget. What comes in your head doesn't always have to come out your mouth. That has stuck with me. Somebody said that, and it stuck. Has not left. And sometimes it kind of kicks me in the rear sometimes. Because I go, well, I didn't do what I should have done. But yet, I trust him with all of it. James had two kinds of people in mind here when he wrote this. When he wrote in James 1:19-21. On the one hand, there's a person that does not like to listen to what other people have to say, especially those that speak with authority. And this person is quick to speak, quickly becomes angry. And if words cross them or their opinion, his behavior is questioned, they're upset. That's the one hand. That's the one person. On the other hand, there's the meek one who's slow to speak and quick to listen. The meek person recognizes the limitations of his knowledge. That's humility. And fallibility is of his thinking. And so is eager to listen and to learn. It's a humbling position. A meek person is humble. A meek person says, I don't know it all. A meek person says, I can wait before I speak. A meek person says, I can possibly learn from this situation. I can be that type of person, but it's contrary to our normal, natural behavior, which is pride. Meek people are teachable. So let's look at James chapter 3. Excuse me, verse 13 through 17. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Why? Why can the meek person do that? Because they know who their Lord is that they can trust to take care of things. When we surrender our burden or our situations or our conflict or whatever the case is to God, we can rest. When we're right with him, with a right heart, we have that peace and assurance from him. Meek people are wise people, and true wisdom is peaceable, gentle, and open to reason. We've run into people where there's no talking to them. You've heard that before. there's no way I can talk. There's no way I'm going to address this. There's no way to get through this conversation. Just leave it alone. But see, that's not wisdom. Wisdom is peaceable, gentle, and open to reason. Wisdom in the Bible is never merely an intellectual affair, because knowledge does not equate wisdom. Isn't that right? Just because we know a lot of stuff doesn't mean we're wise. It's the application of what we know about God and applying it to our lives that makes us wise. And that's the big difference. That's the big difference, excuse me. Wisdom is a disposition of the heart as well as ideas in the head. In a sense, meekness and wisdom are one thing. So when we have meekness, we've learned some wisdom because we depend upon God. We surrender it to God. We don't have to grab the reins in our hands, but we can talk to him and know that he'll make it right and he'll take care of it his way and his time, and we can praise him for that. So now we have a little better understanding about what meekness is, that humility, that trust, that surrender, and that lack of urgency to defend oneself in a certain circumstance, but never, ever a lack of urgency to defend the truth of God's word. We got to plug that in there. So important for us to stand firm on the word of God. The second half of Matthew 5:5 in the Beatitudes says, the promise that the meek shall inherit the earth is a reward and an incentive for us to live in meekness. Again, it's so figurative in my mind to think the meek shall inherit the earth. Because my mind first goes to, what's it mean to be meek? Doesn't mean to be a mat to be walked on. In Isaiah, we were studying that on Tuesday nights, where it was cultural in the days way back that the enemy would have their prisoners lay on the ground and their army and their carriages would walk and roll over their prisoners. God has never intended and never will intend for us to be walked over and rolled over for our faith. Although, we may be in a circumstance where we feel like it. And we have to be willing to stand in God and what he has for us. And so Jesus gave a promise to encourage and strengthen us through the difficulty of living a meek life. It is not easy for us to be meek, to be surrendered to God, to not stand defending ourselves, but allowing God to defend us. Meekness is the opposite of pride and self-acknowledgement. It means giving up things while we live on earth. And again, giving up things while we live on earth is kind of like the big, beautiful, I shouldn't say beautiful, but the people have got the luxuries of the bus, the custom bus, and all the stuff. I don't have to be jealous of that. You don't have to be jealous of that. Supposing you understand what I'm saying. Why? Because God in due time will honor his children. God in due time will honor you and me as we're faithful to him as Christians. And so, meekness is, again, the opposite of pride and self-acknowledgement. It means giving up things while we live on earth. And we won't be trying to win the arguments for pride's sake. And we won't be doing whatever it takes to get to the top of the ladder, no matter who we hurt in the process. Our goals of glorifying God through meekness will go through or go against worldly goals that surround us. If we want to glorify God, God's saying, be meek, and we'll be blessed, and we'll be happy, because we've stepped back and we've surrendered it to God. And we're letting God show his power and his hand and his work through any given circumstance as we trust him. And we trust him to lead us to know when to speak and when not to speak. That's the thing again. What you think in your head doesn't always have to come out your mouth. And if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit will tell us when to speak and when not to. Romans 8:17-18, it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If you're a believer in this room or in the or on the internet as you're listening to the message when it's up, that if you're a believer, you are a joint heir with Christ. Mind-boggling. Everything the Father wants to honor the Son with, we are to share with in Him. We don't see ourselves worthy of that, and we're not. Yet God says in due time we will be honored and we will receive the blessings that the Father gives the Son, the honor, the glory the Father gives the Son, you and I will take part in. We will be joint heirs with Christ. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And did you catch that? If indeed we suffer for Him. Some might say, well, I suffer persecution for the sake of my faith, directly and physically, as people do around the world in our country today. Maybe verbally, because we're not within the mainstream thought and philosophy and morals of the world that we live in. Whatever suffering we endure as a result of standing on the truth of God's word and our relationship with Him, we will share in honor and glory in Him. Having said that, it takes meekness and surrender to step back and say, now I suffer, but then I'll be glorified in Christ. There's the realization of waiting for the promise to be fulfilled that enables us to be meek here and now. And that's what He wants us to do. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Doesn't matter what we go through for suffering for Christ, it does not compare to the glory that should be revealed in us, in Christ, as joint heirs in Him. And then I say this, I had to think, the meek shall inherit the earth, the meek will receive honor and glory. And then I honestly asked the question, I said, well, every believer will be joint heirs with Christ. Every believer will see the new heavens and the new earth. Every believer will experience the promises that God has given in eternal life with Him. So what's the difference for the meek person? The more we honor Christ to glorify Him by surrendering ourselves, setting ourselves aside, and putting Him first, the more He will point out and give honor to us for His glory. I mean, think about it. God, who is God, Jesus, who has done what He's done, deserves all the glory and honor, and in turn, in His humility, in His humbleness, and in His love, He honors us. And that comes back and glorifies Him. The verse I just read, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. This verse will remind us again that we are co-heirs with Christ and we will receive and inherit the whole earth. Biblical eschatology, future events, tells us in the Word that we will live and reign with Christ. More technically, the more faithful we are to God here now, the more God will determine how God uses us as we live and reign with Him there. And that enables us to wait humbly before the Lord. We will receive our place of honor and glory that will affect the whole earth. Some of you in here, maybe all of you in here, many that are coming up in the ranks of kids to youth and young adults and college students, like us who are older as adults in the past, especially as we embark from 12th grade into our college years, how can I make a difference in the world? As believers, stand true to the Word, humble in Him, and let God take care of us and not feel like we have to take the reins. Be meek. And two, know that one day as we honor Him, we will live and reign with Him and He'll honor each one of us accordingly to our faith in Him now. That will affect the whole world for all eternity. With these promises, with this view, with this understanding, we can step back and wait. God's in control of the idiotic things of the world today. God's in control of all the evil. He knows what's going on. God will make things right, clean things up, and honor those who honor him. And he'll be glorified because of it. What we receive in the future far outweighs what we may lose on earth now by living a meek life. That's the plumb line. Are we willing to lose what we can have now on earth because we know that God has far greater things for us yet to come? That should help motivate us. So when we have life's trials, which we all do, when things are difficult to face, just say, God, I'm calling unto you for wisdom. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is applying the knowledge that we have through the Word. And when we ask God for that wisdom now, and we act accordingly as God would have us to do, we're acting in meekness. And there's a beautiful picture in the beatitude. I like that term, beatitude. But to be that type of person goes against our nature, and it requires us depending on the supernatural power of God in our life. So rely on God, the Holy Spirit, to help us, and he will. And God will enable us to live the kingdom life in meekness. The promise of hope and a glorious future are for those who have trusted Jesus as their Savior. So let me close with this. Are you here or in hearing distance of this message, have you received Christ as your Savior? Can you say without a single solitary doubt that you know that when you die, you stand in the presence of God because of your faith in Jesus? If you can say with utmost confidence you are saved because of Jesus and nothing of yourself, then you are saved. But if you can't say that, then you need to ask God to help you understand where you're at with him and come to know him as your Savior, because he loves you and he wants to bless you both now and in eternity. And as obscure and as mythological that may seem to us now, God's word is true. And we have that to rely on. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each person here. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for giving me that one word with this beatitude, wait. I can wait confidently. We can wait confidently in you. We can surrender what rights that we declare that we should have now, or what things we should have now, according to your will and purpose, knowing that in time, in that place, you will give honor and you will lift us up. And as mind-boggling as it is, you will glorify us with your Son, Jesus. We can only be humble before you and amazed by you. But thank you for what you've given us in your word and in your promise. And help us to love you, follow you. So, Father, if there's someone here this morning that's never asked Jesus in their heart, that doesn't maybe have that confidence in their heart and soul that says, I know that when I die, I'm going directly to heaven because of my faith in Jesus. That's secure and clear. If they don't have that and they want that, may they come forward during the invitation and say, Pastor, I want to have that assurance by putting my faith in Jesus. May they come if there's someone here that needs to. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.